Hi, I'm Kerry Shawcross, director of Ruby Volume 3 for Recife Productions, and I am close friends with the Court of Nerds.
Welcome to the Court of Nerds newscast, where we discuss movies, TV, gaming, comic books, and we do it in a kind of newscasty format. I'm West Coast Avenger Greg on your mom's favorite podcast, and in this cast, we are going to be discussing what's going to be happening with the all-new Guardians of the Galaxy book, since it's not being fronted by Bendis anymore. We'll discuss what's going on with the new Batfleck film, if it's actually even still happening, a new miniature fantasy game called Rune Wars for tabletop gaming. Also, Matt Ryan's Constantine may be coming back to TV. We're also going to discuss what's new with the Final Fantasy VII Remake and Kingdom Hearts 3 as well in our gaming segment later on. But first, we're going to go to Grant on comics.
Greetings, fellow Earth humans. This is Grant coming at you again with books this week, and we've got a couple pretty cool things going on. First, I know last week was mostly Marvel. It was all Marvel. So I'm only going to have one Marvel bit of news this week, but it's in two parts. So I remember when we were talking initially about what made Rebirth so cool was that Marvel actually put really good creative teams in place. And it looks like, or DC put good creative teams in place, and it looks like Marvel may have learned the same lesson. Because recently, they've announced that Peter David and Mark Bagley will be put together on a Spider book. They're going to be writing Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider, which is interesting because we haven't seen hide nor hair of Ben Reilly pre this clone nonsense since, geez, the mid to late 90s. And now he's back in the Scarlet Spider position that he previously held, then Kane took over, that he's taking over again, and Kane is tracking him. And it just, it looks really interesting. I haven't always been the biggest Mark Bagley fan, but he has a very, very good sense of how Spider-Man's powers work and how they would look according to human anatomy, and he's just got a really good grip of that. He redesigned the costume, which I'm not too big a fan of, but as long as he's got the body placement correct. And also, Peter David, who's going to be writing it, and he's actually one of the most prolific and just underrated Spider writers around. He's written Spider-Man 2099, both the old and the new. He's written Amazing before. He's written Scarlet Spider before. So really stoked to see how this book turns out. And also, Guardians of the Galaxy is finally losing Brian Michael Bendis. It just didn't work. He's a very talented writer, but the Guardians of the Galaxy, he just couldn't seem to get a good handle on it that pleased fans. And Jerry Duggan and Aaron Cuter, semi-recently exclusive Marvel artist Aaron Cuter, are taking over. And I'm actually excited. It's weird, Marvel's getting a lot of books that I'm excited about, including this new Nova book and the Hulk book. But yeah, well done, Marvel, putting some good creative teams together. Second bit of news this week is that Justice League Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is dropping on Wednesday, January 11th. This is, again, being written by Tom Taylor, who did a tremendous job working with the Injustice books by DC Comics. And Stephen Byrne is doing art, and I think he's going to have a rising profile soon. And it's going to be really cool to see the dynamics of these two teams, how they interact and what their common goal is going to be. And I know especially Drew, has been super pumped for this book to come out. With the work that DC did pairing Batman with the Ninja Turtles, I don't see why Justice League and Boom's Power Rangers series, how that's not going to go well. So get your copies. There's probably going to be 1,000 variants, so make sure you get at least one of them. Last bit of news, and this I thought was really cool. I sent Greg a message as soon as I read it. But Dark Horse has this 400-page book that they're releasing, the limited edition of The Legend of Zelda Arts and Artifacts. This is just this beautiful hardcover book that has a 3D embossed sword hilt sculpt with a metallic foil finish. It looks beautiful, gorgeous, and 400 pages of fully realized artistic masterpieces, exclusive interviews with the artists behind the beloved video game franchise, the official pixel art of the early series, and raw promotional material that people have never seen before published. It looks awesome. I've liked watching how people enjoy Zelda, but I've never really been a big player myself. But this is an interesting book that I would look forward to reading. It's got an $80 price tag and it's dropping in late February. Again, this thing just looks wonderful. Dark Horse has really done a good job with their Nintendo license, so good things are expected from this. Again, We've got the good Marvel creative teams, Peter David, Mark Bagley on Scarlet Spider, Jerry Duggan, Aaron Kuder on Guardians of the Galaxy. We've got Justice League Mighty Morphin Power Rangers from DC and Boom dropping on January 11th. And we've got Dark Horse revealing their limited edition of The Legend of Zelda Arts and Artifacts. All right, guys, that's all I got for you this week. And if you'll excuse me, I have to go work on my Dungeons & Dragons character backstory because I just started playing, and oh my gosh, it's the best.
Thanks, Grant. Still to come, we're going to discuss what's up with this new tabletop fantasy game called Rune Wars. Is it just a reskinning of old Warhammer figures? Captain Dick Sledge is going to talk about that in just a little bit. But first, we'll go to John Does Movies.
Hey, this is John Does Movies. It works. I'm going to go with it. First up, Rogue One is now the second highest grossing Star Wars movie, putting The Phantom Menace in third place, but still last in our hearts. As of the 10th of January, it has made $477,364,924, putting it 8th all-time domestically, and only 9 million short of Finding Dory for top film released in 2016, and 5th worldwide behind Cap Civil War, Finding Dory, Zootopia, and The Jungle Book. Note, all Disney films. Hashtag killing the game. Rumor Central time. The Batman. Has it been delayed? Question mark? According to the Batman fan site Batman on Film, which apparently is not very credible, but this story has been on 3 different sites. So, fan site Batman on Film, Warner Bros., and Affleck have pushed back production on The Batman by a couple of months. However, they couldn't name a source, but it also said that it came from a long-time source. So hopefully there lies some credibility, but don't take it as gospel. In an interview, Affleck was quoted saying, "If it doesn't come together in a way that I think is really great, I'm not going to do it." So if Justice League is a mess, like everybody's saying it is, could all be true. Most of it's unconfirmed, but, you know, stay tuned for details, which would really suck if they had to do that. And if they do, they should just scrap it all and start over in a couple years. Personal opinion. Next up, I want to talk about Cars 3. If you remember, Drew's review of the teaser trailer was kind of sad because it was very dreary. You saw Lightning McQueen in a crash, and that's all you really got. But during the national championship game, they released the new full-length trailer, and it's more of a comeback tale. It's trials and tribulations. McQueen is older now, and the new rookie, Jackson Storm, is taking everybody by storm. Haha, get it? After being pushed out of the sport he loves, and with the help of a newcomer, Cruz Ramirez, an eager young race tech and inspiration from the late Hudson Hornet, we'll see if Lightning McQueen can get back on the top of his game. It's not over till the lightning strikes. Look for Cars 3 to hit theaters June 16th. 2017. I'm getting the middle finger. This has been John Does Movies.
Yay, yay!
Yay, yay!
One of these days we're actually going to have to get a jingle for you, John, so it's not just you singing. He has the voice of an angel. So Matt Ryan's Constantine is going to be getting its own show again, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit, but everyone's favorite sledge is going to sledge the rift.
Kali Marisay Nerdophiles, I'm Kevin from the Court of Nerds, and you're listening to Sledging the Rift. This is the portion of the show where I dig up all the news that's worth being shared to tabletop gamers in your life. I cover the good, the bad, and the maddening, so listen to me get aroused by cardboard, plastic, resin, and sometimes pewter, you know, if I'm in the mood. But first, we got bills to pay at the court, and I'm excited to announce our newest sponsor, Red Apron. After a long day of dungeon diving, are you hungry but can't afford those high-priced taverns and public houses that are so popular with the millennial adventuring crowd? Did you forget to go to the fishmonger when you were coming home after visiting Loose Linda at the docks? Well, if you subscribe to Red Apron, you could have freshly killed meat waiting for you at a location of your choosing. For a mere 2 copper a day, you could be dining on succulent venison, for all you know, this very instant instead of having to eat whatever is growing behind the outhouse. If you're a vegetarian, we will happily murder, kill, harvest some bloodberries from the vineyards of Waterdeep and export them to your door before they turn, probably. If you're a lich, well, you don't really care about the quality of food we send you. Ask about our adventuring troop package and get 4 murders, kills for the price of 3. That's Red Apron food-like delivery service for all your murdering dining needs.
The weakling wretch comes forwards, his movements faltering. He doesn't yet understand his folly, but he will. And he will die just like the others. The thrill of anticipation flutters through me. There is no sound but the thunder in my veins. He is old and feeble. Death hangs upon him like a shroud.
In I Finally Have a Use for All Those Old Warhammer Fantasy Movement Trays news, Fantasy Flight has released a new miniature fantasy game called Rune Wars. You are the general of a fantasy army, leading the highly trained legions of the Dagon Lords or the shambling reanimates of Wagger the Undying into combat. Here, you're far from a tiny skirmish in the woods or an unimportant border dispute. These are titanic battles of a great war, fought by regiments of soldiers who march to battle and die in measured ranks. You'll command blocks of infantry to wheel or to hold position, older cavalry to charge the enemy flank, or send monstrous creatures smashing into the enemy vanguard. Now, when I said old Warhammer Fantasy, I meant exactly that. The units form ranks in the exact same way, move and wheel in the exact same way, and even look similar to the Warhammer 8th edition rules that used to exist before the Age of Sigmar ruined, ruined everything. Kind of funny that Fantasy Flight doesn't have to pay for Warhammer license anymore and they release something that looks like Warhammer. Coincidence? In This Game Still Exists news, The Walking Dead miniature game is getting another expansion this year called All Out War. I'm amazed at how much Robert Kirkman has managed to license this increasingly narratively thin world he has created. I guess you would be able to use tigers now, so maybe one day we'll see zombie tigers? I don't know, I've been bored of TWD for 3 years now and I don't expect this will pull me back in. In Kickers Can Collaborate on Game Creation 2 news, Twilight of the Gods is a 2-4 player expandable card game using ancient deities, demigods, and demons to battle your friends in a competitive deck building and modification game. If I were to describe it, it seems like a combination between Gwent and Seven Wonders. Let that tumble around your mind for a little bit. The Kickstarter went live on December 26 and has already amassed $50,000, which is well above the original $15,000 goal. The game is being published by Victory Point Games and has a lead developer you might have heard of. Chris Cluid can do more than kick a prolate spheroid with high degree of accuracy. He can also create card games too. No word yet if there's a beautifully unique Sparkle Pony card included. Well, that's all I have this week for Sledging the Rift. But you can always check out thecourtofnerds.com and find out which fictional character I'm man-crushing on this week. I'm Kevin, wondering why, when I try to summon a demonic familiar through an ancient ritual, Grant always says he's busy plowing snow. Huh, weird. Bye.
Thanks, Kevin. Now, on the way, we're going to talk about Final Fantasy VII Remake. There is new news on that, as well as news for Kingdom Hearts 3. But first, That's So Braven with Drew.
All the news you need to know in TV, and the first bit of news is that I'm not so Braven. It's Drew filling in for Ben this week on the TV section of your Court of Nerds news. Don't worry, I can do this whole serious thing too. It's not easy, but I'll try my best. So here we go, all the TV news that you need to know. The CW has renewed 7 of its series for next season already, this coming via Variety. The network doled out early renewals to all of its comic book franchises, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, Flash, and Supergirl, including Jane the Virgin, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and the much beloved by this podcast, Supernatural. Now, the CW also had another announcement that got us all a Twitter. DC's Constantine, the much-beloved Matt Ryan starring series at NBC, is getting an animated resurrection, still starring Matt Ryan, on the CW's digital outlet, CW Seed. For more details on that, check out thecourtofnerds.com. More on the CW now. The new cast of Riverdale has some pictures out, And this thing's got a kind of sexy noir vibe going for it. Or at least that's what CBR.com is calling it. I'm saying it's got, I don't know, almost an 80s feel to it. Kind of a Miami Vice with teenagers. Either way, I'm excited to see Archie, Betty, Veronica, Jughead, and the gang. What they're going to do with Riverdale, I don't know. But if it follows the current Archie series, I'm not going to have any complaints. People are complaining, though, that Fox's Black Lightning will not interact with the rest of the Greg Berlanti superhero shows. Berlanti, of course, producing Black Lightning for Fox, not the CW. And Berlanti has said that will keep it separate from what they have dubbed the Arrowverse. So, sorry, kids, you're not going to get to see them play in the same sandbox. However, Supergirl and Flash will play in the same sandbox, and that sandbox is going to have music. That's right, a musical crossover episode. And it's not just going to be a fun gimmick. Executive producer Andrew Kreisberg says the two-part story will have, quote, lasting ramifications on both shows. He cited Joss Whedon's work on Buffy, that these weren't just gimmicks, they were fun stories. For those not aware, Grant Gustin and Melissa Benoist are both veterans of Fox's Glee. And the rest of the cast, no slouch when it comes to musical talent. Jesse L. Martin, one of the original members of the cast of Rent. Godspell starred Victor Garber. Finding Neverland featured Jeremy Jordan. And John Barrowman has been in basically everything. Beauty and the Beast, Evita, and Aladdin. There are other musically inclined actors that are not on these shows, but Kreisberg and Berlanti have both said there's a chance they could show up in this two-part musical crossover. Finally, speaking of the second part of things, Stranger Things is coming back for season two, and they're doing it bigger and darker. The producers have said it will be far more than they have. And of course, Will Byers has grown up. A lot of the season one cast returning, and of course, Sean Astin and Paul Reiser joining the cast. Stranger Things Season 2 expected later this year. Filming already underway in Atlanta. That's all the TV news you need to know. I'm Drew, filling in for Ben. Don't worry, you'll get a real man's voice back next week.
Drew, I love you. You just don't have the same buttery, angelic voice that Ben has. So you might have noticed this past year at E3 and also at PSX that neither Final Fantasy VII nor Kingdom Hearts 3 were shown. It's a little surprising for us fans, considering both titles were announced at PSX 2015. So, what's going on? Well, Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy VII Remake director Tetsuya Nomura spoke to Weekly Famitsu, saying, "There are still worlds untouched, and that production is progressing on unannounced worlds in a state that we can't show them off. This means, in all likelihood, the games aren't ready and we're not going to be seeing either title before the end of the year. And while this sucks from an impatient standpoint, it's actually perfectly acceptable. We want them to take their time on these games because we want them to be good." This weekend, we're finally going to be getting a clear picture of what the Nintendo Switch actually is. At the company's latest investor meeting, President Tatsumi Kimishima said the live stream presentation this weekend is going to include the launch date and pricing for the Nintendo Switch, as well as a look at the lineup of games currently in development. Now, this is a pivotal week for Nintendo, as they're going to have to demonstrate the ease of moving the hardware from the home console to portable console. They're also going to have to show actual games, which better damned well include Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, including third-party indie and virtual console games that are actually from this generation and not Skyrim. It's going to be a really heavy task, and we're going to have a full report on that live stream this weekend. Microsoft has confirmed that they are going to be ceasing production on Scalebound. Now, this game might not ring a bell because the last time it was even talked about was in 2014 at E3. It's a massively awesome-looking dragon-taming RPG, and it was supposed to be a Microsoft exclusive to be released sometime near the end of 2016. At last year's E3, Platinum announced that the game was going to be delayed to an indeterminate time in 2017, quote, "in order to deliver on our ambitious vision and ensure that Scalebound lives up to expectations." Now, Microsoft gave a statement to IGN saying, quote, "After careful deliberation, Microsoft Studios has come to the decision to end production for Scalebound. We are working hard to deliver an amazing lineup of games for our fans this year, including Halo Wars 2, Crackdown 3, State of Decay 2, Sea of Thieves, and other great experiences. So, while Scalebound is no longer in the works, at least we have confirmation of Halo Wars 2. Someone took to Twitter to ask BioWare General Manager Aaron Flynn if Mass Effect Andromeda is going to have DLC season passes, to which Flynn replied, "Nope."
When asked for more clarification, Flynn said, "We'll talk more about that later." So this could mean a couple of different things. It could mean that we're going to have to purchase all of the DLC for Mass Effect Andromeda individually, unbundled, as it comes out. Now, as we've seen with literally every other Mass Effect DLC to date, this would mean approximately $120 of extra content, some of which is really important to the story. Oh, and it never ever goes on sale, so this would be really, really shitty. It could also mean BioWare is looking to release a wholly complete game with no DLC, but that's not exactly going to happen. They're gonna release DLC for the game, there's no question about it. How they expect us to pay for it is a totally different story. Mass Effect Andromeda releases March 21st, 2017, and you can check out my article on the game at thecourtofnerds.com. That'll do it for this week on The Court of Nerds. Make sure you check out the rundown of Mass Effect Andromeda. Make sure you also check out Stacy's review of The Six Thatchers, the new episode in Sherlock. There's all that and more at thecourtofnerds.com. Till next week's newscast, I'm West Coast Avenger Greg. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, I'm Ben with the Court of Nerds. Sometimes I say things with my mouth and write things with my fingers. You can find us on Facebook, we're the Court of Nerds, on Twitter, at court_of_nerds. If you don't mind getting weird, intruding pictures in the middle of the night, you can add us on Snapchat at court_of_nerds and our website, thecourtofnerds.com.